Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Be seated. So this single guy decides life would be more fun if he had a pet. So he went to the pet store and told the owner that he wanted to buy a very unusual pet. After some discussion, he finally bought a centipede, a 100-legged bug, which came in a little white box to use for his house. He took the box back home, found a good location for the box, and decided he would start off by taking his new pet to church with him. So he asked the centipede in the box, "Would you like to go to church with me today? We will have a good time." But there was no answer from his new pet. This bothered him a bit, but he waited a few minutes and then he asked him again, "How about going to church with me and receive blessings?" But again, there was no answer from his new friend and pet. So he waited a few minutes more, thinking about the situation. Then he decided to ask him one more time, this time putting his face up against the centipede's house and shouting as loud as he could, "Hey in there, would you like to go to church with me and learn about the Lord?" Well, as the man moved his face closer to the box to hear an answer, a little voice came out of the box, and the centipede was heard to declare, "I heard you the first time. I'm putting on my shoes." Well, getting to where God wants us to be is often like the challenge of the centipede. Too many shoes to be tied. There are so many obstacles and impediments. They seem so great. Sometimes there's a lethargy that sets in. To overcome our sluggishness in the face of impediment, it takes, in the words of our collect for this, the Sunday just before Advent, a mighty stirring up. And it seems that in the wisdom of Holy Mother Church, it assumes that as we reach this time of the year, which is the end of the church year, almost the beginning of a new one, we need to be stirred up as the people of God. And so the collect prays, "Stir up the wills of thy faithful people," which is why this Sunday is sometimes referred to as Stirring Up Sunday. The stirring up is often called a renewal that is part of a great second exodus that our lessons are about today. The epistle lesson is one of those rare Sundays where we read an Old Testament passage for the epistle from Jeremiah 23. Which speaks of a great stirring up and is referred to as an exodus. But the exodus Jeremiah describes has a multiple application in history. Listen to the double exodus spoken of in verses 7 through 8 of Jeremiah 23. "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, The Lord liveth, which brought up the children out of the land of Egypt." That's the first exodus. "But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from the countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land." Second Exodus. So there are at least two here. I would conclude even multiple Exoduses that foretell of a coming great Exodus that is the final great Exodus in history. And that Exodus is spoken of as the coming of the Messiah. This is the great exodus where the lost sheep of the house of Israel return to the Lord, and his land from all over the world, Jew and Gentile, are gathered in. And we're even given the signal that the birth of Jesus Christ is the beginning of the second exodus. For if you remember, the Holy Family was forced down into Egypt because of a wicked king on the throne. And they literally have to come up out of Egypt again. Messiah leads the people of God up out of Egypt and begins that which Jeremiah speaks of and Isaiah and all the prophets. The gospel lesson, the feeding of the multitudes, the 5,000, is part of also telling us this exodus, this new stirring up of the people of God has begun in John 6, verse 5 and following. It comes to us, this feeding of the multitudes, with laden with Exodus language. People go out into the desert intent on listening to Jesus. They're so concerned about their spiritual needs that they forget their physical requirements. Jesus, recognizing the time to eat, performs one of his greatest miracles. Like the first Exodus, when manna was provided by God from heaven, so God miraculously feeds his people again in the desert. Also, like the first Exodus, where no food was to be left. You remember, they were to consume it all every day as the manna was provided. So Jesus commands his disciples in this feeding of the multitudes, gather up the fragments that remain that nothing may be lost, which is behind the great tradition of why we consume all of the sacrament or reserve it in the tabernacle. The point is, when God comes, he stirs up the people of God. And so at this time of the year, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ again and begin a new year for Christians, the year begins in Advent. We're reminded that we are part of this ongoing Exodus, and we continually need to be stirred up as the people of God, because God has come. And when he comes, we are moved, and we are to be spiritually awakened from a lethargy that can overtake us, usually at the end of things and just before dawn is about to reappear. The great Anglican theologian James I. Packer writes in a book, Your Father Loves You, revival or spiritual awakening is the visitation of God which brings to life also Christians who have been sleeping and restores a deep sense of God's near presence and holiness. Then springs a vivid sense of sin and a profound exercise of heart to repentance and praise and love with an evangelistic outflow. First God comes. On New Year's Eve, 1739, John Wesley, George Whitfield, and some of their friends, Anglican evangelists, the 18th century, they held a communion service, which became a watch night of prayer to see a new year in. And Wesley records that about 3 a.m., the power of God came mightily upon us, insomuch that many, many cried for exceeding joy, and many fell to the ground. And Packer concludes, revival always begins with a restoration of a sense of the closeness of the Holy One of God. To this end, we should heed the words of the collect and pray for our wills to be stirred up to bring forth good fruits of good works. So in this approaching great time of the year, what will we do to be stirred up in our faith? Some people keep Advent calendars, others come to church more, they attend the daily prayer services we have here every day. We give more, and in that sense, stirring up also involves stirring others up as well. There'll be plenty of opportunity in the coming days to bring people to wonderful events and services through Advent, culminating in Christmas, a remarkable Lessons and Carol service this year, where we're combining a concert with the great Lessons and Carols tradition, which is one of our wonderful Anglican services. And yes, there'll be a call to think of others' basic needs and to remember the people of God. The point is to allow God to stir us up in a very special way. So there are a lot of shoes to be tied. Let's start tying them. Amen. Let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive."